So I'm just standing there in the living room. Kids are running around, horsing around, roughly, you know, whatever. Sophia just runs up to me and punches me in the testicle.
Nice.
I mean, wound up and extended to the point, Michael. And I mean, you understand what this is like. I mean, I fell to my knees. And my wife is yelling at me for overreacting. And I tried to explain. I said, hon, I know you think like she's a four-year-old. She punched me in the balls. That hurts.
Well, what'd you do?
I yelled. I said, don't ever do that again.
What'd she do?
She started crying because I yelled at her. Then my wife yelled at me more. I'm like, I'm going to yell at her. She can't do that.
Sorry.
You can't punch people in the nuts.
No, they got to learn that lesson.
They got to learn that lesson. It's my duty as a father.
She can't go trying that stuff on me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, actually, wait a second.
No. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel podcast for, you said April, it's not. You try to throw me off. It's March 6th. I see what you did there. I let it go at the time that I came to it. Thank God for my Jonathan Frakes calendar, which clearly says March 2020.
It's such a weird font. Yeah, it looks like it says math with like a subscript below.
Yeah, it's March. Yeah, I have a calendar. It's only pictures of Jonathan Frakes from that TV show where he's like, not this time. This story was invented by a writer.
You ever got to wander in the pale moonlight?
Oh, I love that. Go watch those montages. There was one of the college football games. They like brought him in to do like the hype.
Really?
Thing. Like,
that's pretty good.
Like, you know, it's like, how does a team with a .27 sack percentage, you know, that kind of thing? It's great.
We'll talk about Jonathan Frakes soon enough.
Yes, yes, yes. We'll do our Picard episode review, but lots of things to talk about. Especially that Final Fantasy VII demo.
Oh, baby.
Yes, I mean, so I actually played through it all today, and it's basically like, it's like the demo I played at E3, except this one starts at the very beginning of the game.
Literally the beginning.
So a little bit
game,
longer. Yeah. Like, my demo also ended at the end of that bombing mission.
Okay.
But, so now you've gotten to play it, so what did you think?
Oh my god, Mike, it's so good!
It's super fun.
It's one of those things where, like, when you first saw this remake being worked on, they had the first videos, it looked like the, like the bullshot thing, like the Killzone 2 trailer. Mm-hmm. It had that feel about it. But this, that's what it is.
It looks really
good. Why does it look so good?
For an end of console generation game, like we should be thinking like, oh, I can't wait for the next console to come out, but like, this game looks great.
Right? Like, the only thing I feel like it could do better is like a true 4K 60.
Yeah, but like,
I mean, wow. I was impressed early on, you know, I just had Cloud standing there, and the way, like, if there was a light behind him, the way, like, the light diffused on the edges of his hair, I was like, what? It's stunning. I can't believe how good it looks.
And a big part of the appeal of the original Final Fantasy VII, like, let's you know, be clear, was the spectacle of it.
Oh, sure. I mean, we went from 6 to 7, where, right. You know...
Well, just even compared to our other PlayStation games, really.
Right,
like,
yeah.
There was, like, with the, you know, FMVs, the pre-rendered backgrounds, the music, like, it was a big spectacle. It just feels like that again.
It really does. It really does.
What do you think about the battle system?
I like it a lot. Yeah. It's not as Final Fantasy XV as I thought it would be.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
It's something very, it's new, really. I mean, it takes some elements of ATB, but instead of, like, time being what fills the ATB meter...
It's your attack.
And it's almost
it's
kind
of... It's the attack time.
It's almost kind of Final Fantasy 13, especially with the segments of that bar, because that's what 13 did. So, yeah, it's like, you do, like, attacks, and they don't do that much damage, but they fill up the ATB meter, which allows you to use abilities or spells. The spells still have mana and stuff like that. But even so, like, attacking isn't just straight up, like, attacking. There's this kind of stagger system, where when you start using abilities, you can start staggering enemies, and once they are, like, staggered, then they'll start taking more damage.
Yeah, that's when you just unload on them. Mm-hmm. I like the way how, you know, in this particular party build-up, how Cloud is your melee attacker, and Barret is your ranged attack, which, you know, depending on certain enemies, and, like, they, you need him
and there's
to
like,
attack.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not just like, oh, he's, like, melee attacks, but they're distance. Like, he has this whole kind of, like, like reloading, not really reload, but like a recharging mechanic that's kind of interesting and fun. And like when that, like you like switch over to Barrett sometimes because he won't use that like triangle ability on his own,
which is really strong.
Right, so it's like I want to switch over to Barrett now for a bit. Like I was switching between the two quite a bit. It wasn't just like I'll just be Cloud and then like when you push the X button to input those kind of special commands, times those down. So you could just be like the one character mostly and then just issue those kind of special commands. But even
still, it felt like if I was controlling the character, their meters weren't filling up as quickly. Mm-hmm. So it encouraged you to just kind of, for no other reason, jump back and forth, just keep their meters up.
Did you like the boss fight?
Yeah, the boss fight was incredible. Super fun. Again, it has that spectacle of just stuff going on, the environment's breaking apart, and it's moving all over the place.
I like, too, it's like, it still feels like a JRPG in that it's not like an action game where it's necessarily all about, like, avoiding damage completely. Like, you are taking damage. So JRPG things like curing and using items, like, that's
part of the game. That's
right, like there are, like, tells to attacks, and you can minimize damage by blocking or evading, but it's not like you shouldn't be taking damage. Like, oh, you took damage, you messed up. Like, you're taking damage.
Yeah, which is kind of freeing in a weird way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's so much fun.
I thought, when they first showed the game, I had issue with Barrett's voice acting.
It works a little bit better context. Sometimes feel like it's a bit much.
Yeah, here and there, but like the part where he's asking about how old he is.
Yeah,
like, that was a good little bit of dialogue.
My favorite bit was when you're running away and like Cloud kind of jumps off a falling bridge and Jesse's like, hey, that was pretty cool. And like Cloud actually smirks a little bit. You know?
Yeah, he's got a little more personality. I mean, there's a lot of like that fleshing out. Like Biggs Wedge and Jesse felt more like characters in this than they ever did in the original game. Right.
And that's one of the benefits. I mean, I know a lot of people are still kind of weirded out by it. The whole this is like episodic, basically, which I kind of get. I'm not if this really is a 30-hour game, I'm not gonna have that big a problem with it.
Yeah, it is gonna be a bummer though to know like there's like we're only a third of the way through the story and it just ended.
I guess
it took us 10 years to get this.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing.
How long is it gonna take to get episode 2?
Yeah, if we got like part 2 next year, that would certainly feel better. I don't think we will. I think it'll be 2 years.
No,
but yeah, it's like in 4 years maybe this whole thing. But to be honest, like what part would you really be excited about playing when you were told about
the Midgar section? Yeah,
it's like yeah, that's what I want to play anyways. But pretty effective. It's even an era where we don't have demos very much. This seems like a game that kind of like. Could use one to sort of show people what it's about.
Yeah, it always helps launch these demos when you're confident in having a good product, and I think this just builds the hype because everyone knew in the abstract like this looks cool, we like Final Fantasy VII. I think playing this really proves I want to play more. You know, I finished it and immediately restarted it, but I played it in the mode that tries to more closely emulate a turn-based.
Right, because those are basically auto-attacks until...
Yeah, so it does auto-attacks, but the only problem is you could only play that in easy mode as well, and it was easy.
I bet.
Like, I beat the boss before I even got to Limit Breaks.
I did that in the normal mode.
Oh, really shoot.
Pretty pat. Well, this is also my second time playing this.
Everything about it just clicked for me. The nostalgia... Just the look of it. The music is incredible.
The music is so good. Gosh, that music is still so effective. Good. That battle music.
Yeah, but the orchestrations are just fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked all like the new incidental dialogue between the characters. I don't remember this in the original game. Maybe it should be time made me forget. But like the whole thing where like, oh, their bomb actually sucked. But Shinra just like uses this as an excuse to blow up the reactor and blame it on them. Is that new?
I think that's new.
Okay. But that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of
I liked that.
Yeah, it's kind
like,
of
that's
fun.
A good wrinkle to the story.
Yeah, right.
Because like that was happening, and I was like, I don't recall this, but it makes a lot of sense. Like, I see where they're going with this. Because, of course, they knew they were there. They didn't just sneak in undetected. Like, they weren't very quiet about it.
They rode it on the train all badass.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny just still watching, like, that train opening. It's like, man, I remember when, like...
Oh, I know.
I remember downloading the videos off of CompuServe, like, the first looks of this and being like, this is the best.
It is great because kind of similar to the game. You can still see where they kind of hide that transition from CG to real time with the steam.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Not really, no.
Yeah, it's there.
I believe you.
It just reminds me of, like, because, you know, that game, it went from CG to, like... to just the pre-rendered background that just ended on that frame, and then Cloud jumped off the train. It's like, oh my god, like, how are they doing this?
Mm-hmm. It was pretty nuts for 1997, man.
Yeah, it definitely was. But yeah, I'm... April 4th or 11th or something, right?
Something like that.
I'm pumped now.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I like my Final Fantasy, so, and it doesn't seem we're going to get a Final Fantasy 16 anytime soon.
Hey, I mean, this is what we have for now, so be it. Like,
right. I do wonder, like, are they, somebody's got to be working on a 16? Final Fantasy 16.
I'm sure.
Like, what is that going to look like? I mean, I understand, like, in a way, it's like they're already 14, like, still going.
Going strong.
And you have this 7 remake, which is a lot of resources, and it's a lot of the Final Fantasy guys, really.
Well, the Kingdom Hearts people are kind of wrapped up, so they got some time.
A lot of those people, I imagine, are probably working on this, too.
Well, sure.
And there's gonna, yeah. Anywho, kind of talk about PlayStation, though. You see that it was just the 20th anniversary of the PlayStation 2?
It was.
Yeah, there's a system that, like, it took me a little bit to warm up to, but that's easily one of the best systems ever.
Yeah, I kind of in my head go between that and Super Nintendo.
Yeah, those are two obvious ones. Like, PlayStation 2 had so
I think I'm more willing to go back to Super Nintendo games. Maybe it's because it's easier too. But yeah, I mean, you know, PS2, you think Metal Gear Solid 3, you think God of War, you think Grand Theft Auto, of course.
Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, Final Fantasy 12, Kingdom Hearts, Kingdom Hearts 2, the Ratchet and Clank games like Cooper, Jack and Daxter, like, you know, then, like, you know, Grand Theft Autos, the other Final Fantasies, like 10, just, like, it's ridiculous, all the Tony Hawks, just tons of things, and, like, even, like, weird things like Mark of Kree and stuff that, like, people don't talk about that much anymore, Dark Cloud 2, like, just so many.
Yeah.
It's, like, people forget, too, like, when you look at the sales, like, the PlayStation 2 was so much more popular than the GameCube and Xbox.
Yeah.
It's really weird than GameCube, because the GameCube seems like it gets a lot of love today. I feel like in my mind, I knew plenty of people who had GameCubes, but like they sold like 20 million of them or something.
Well, it's worth remembering too, for a lot of people, the PS2 is also their first DVD player.
Yeah, that helped a lot.
And we'll never see a jump like we did from VHS to DVD.
Nah.
Like that just doesn't exist anymore. That was such a big deal. And compared to the price of a DVD player, the PS2 was a bargain.
I mean, it's like a DVD player that can play The Bouncer by Square Enix.
Yes, exactly.
That's the weird thing about PlayStation was the launch. It was a weird launch.
Yeah, like Fantavision.
Fantavision, a bad Dynasty Warriors game, a bad racing game, The Bouncer.
What did we get with our PS2? I know we've told that story.
We got the Dynasty Warriors game, we got that bad racing game.
And Time Splitters.
I did not like Time Splitters. I know some people like Time Splitters. I don't even like Golden. So that's me. The other one was Tekken Tag Tournament, which like upset me because it just wasn't as good as Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
So
I was like, what is this? Yeah. We were still ride or die for the Dreamcast.
that was one of the reasons why it took me so long to warm up to the PlayStation 2.
It was that 1E3 where we had all four systems.
Yeah. The time of peace in the kingdom.
Yes.
That is like maybe aside from the 16-bit generation, but maybe more so, that like my favorite generation. I love that era. I was playing a lot of games.
It was exciting because 3D gaming was finally kind of figuring itself out.
Mm-hmm. Things a lot of my favorite games are coming out, like especially with Melee, Wind Waker, Metroid Prime, Shadow Colossus, Kingdom Hearts. So, like all the, there's a lot of like absolute old time favorites coming out in this era. Memories. It makes me wonder about like the legacy of Xbox One and PlayStation 4, especially if these systems are just like if like the Series X is just gonna play Xbox One games.
Well, we blurred the line
better. Yeah, you know. We've already seen it a bit. Like, what is nostalgia for the PlayStation 3 and 360? I mean, it's for the 360 a little bit, but all of those games, even at that time, are basically just on PC or like playable on a newer system, anyways. Right?
Well, I mean, PS3 wise, you have Uncharted and Last of Us, of course.
Yeah, but both of those, all of those, are now playable on PlayStation 4.
Right. I mean, I see what you're saying in that regard. You know, for the Xbox. I mean, they were definitely the place for the third party stuff for the 360. So
right. I guess I never would have. I remember when, you know, PlayStation 3 came out. PlayStation 2 was still plugged in for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you didn't get one of those backwards compatible models.
Right, so, yeah. It's just interesting. Like, is there going to be a nostalgic legacy for the PlayStation 4 or Xbox One? Honestly, I think maybe more so for the PlayStation 4 is because it had some more exclusives and stuff. Xbox One's going to be weird.
Yeah.
And again, because they have a better forward compatibility or backward compatibility
plan, that we don't know what PlayStation's doing yet, but
they gotta be doing something because they have a lot of big exclusives coming out for PlayStation 4, though.
Yeah, like this year.
Those are Shishiba.
But again, I mean, I hate to be the pessimist, but I would not put it past Sony to want to sell you The Last of Us definitive edition, or The Last of Us 2 definitive edition, you know, 18 months from now.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, on PS5 with ray tracing.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe is it hard to do now that Microsoft's not doing that? Or do they not care?
I mean, that's the question. Do we get back in that good old PS3 hubris, Sony, or not?
I mean, the PS4 is successful, so they could. It wasn't as successful as the PlayStation 2. I don't know how much hubris they should have.
I thought it sold more.
Not more, no. PlayStation 2 is still the best-selling system of all time.
Really?
155 million units.
Wow. Where's the PS4 at, do you know?
It's like 105 or something like that. Wow. It's not going to catch PlayStation 2.
Wow.
It did very well.
Interesting.
But PlayStation 2 was ridiculous. Very popular. Speaking of Last of Us, you see that HBO show is coming?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll believe it when I see it. Although, yeah. I believe this will happen more than they do the Uncharted movie at this point.
TV shows seem to happen when they talk about that for whatever reason. Especially, well, it seems like with Witcher being a hit. And this seems suited for it, right?
Yeah, I mean, TV has become a good medium for these sort of, like, you know, again, Witcher, Castlevania. It's a good place for that stuff to live.
I probably will not watch it. It's fine. Even I can handle like gritty games. I'm not a big fan of like gritty TV shows.
As we saw with Picard a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't need to see like gritty hardcore Last of Us on TV. Even like some of the things they show for Last of Us 2, and I know I'll be better in context playing the game. Like, some of the trailers. There's like that one trailer. It's just like
the girl like they like hit her arms with a hammer, clip her wings.
Just, yeah, I'm like
yeah. It's like
It's like
why do I need to see that?
Yeah, no, thank you. Do you want to talk about Picard, or is there something else?
Yeah, well, I got a couple more game things. I started up the Division 2 again, because that new expansion.
You were never into Division 2, and I liked Division 2.
Part of why I wasn't, because I was playing Anthem.
You know how awful an excuse that is. That is so bad.
I know, but
Division 2 is so much better.
I'm starting to get that looter shooter itch.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go back to Destiny right now. They just started a new season. And the problem with Destiny is, like, there are so many goddamn systems in that game. I don't even know what to do.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know? And now that I've been gone for a while, when I jump back in, I'm like, what am I?
And none of them are on board. Well, like, there's like this forge. I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Now, like, the trials of Osiris back. Everyone's bitching about the artifacts are turned on. Like, what's an artifact?
I know.
Like, just forget it.
Part of me, it's like, that's like part of me is like, I wish I'd do Destiny 3 so I could just start over again.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think they're going to, but there is like that, like, I feel left out at this point.
I think we'll get. They might. Honestly, I think they would just launch Destiny to be like the platform for the next gen system, and then that's it for a long time.
They had like that New Dawn, where I thought that was supposed to be kind of like a reset event, but it didn't feel like that to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But anyway, so the Division 2 seems like a pretty good option if I want a looter shooter right now.
Yeah, it's super
fun. Yeah, I'm only level 10. I never got super far.
Okay, I still have to level up. I can level up with you.
Like I said, I just got a mission to steal the Declaration of Independence. I mean, I'm down for that.
That's fun,
yeah.
You did the Space Museum mission.
Yes, we did that together. Yeah, that was fantastic. Fun. Yeah, so, you know, I read some stuff, so I kind of decided, okay, what skills should I actually have? Because I had some unspent skill points. I got the cluster mines. They seem very fun. Mm-hmm. And I still have my healing drone. I like that.
Always good.
So, yeah, I just ran a mission last night, just kind of like, retaught myself the UI because the UI is awful in that game.
Yeah.
It is not a great UI. But yeah, I'm excited to play some more of that. I also was playing what was it? I had it in my head and it went right out of my head.
Well, I've been playing Dragon Quest XI.
Oh, okay. Yeah, tell me about that.
It's fun. I'm liking it a lot, actually. It's prettier than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, it's a great looking game on the Switch.
Yeah. Did we talk about this?
I played the demo and I talked about it, yeah.
Yeah, but I am actually, and it's you know, the whole thing of Dragon Quest games that they're simple, but it's not like as simple as I thought. It's not like a baby game.
No, it's not simple.
There are systems.
They are straightforward.
It's straightforward.
I think that's how I'd put it.
But it's still satisfying. And one thing I do like is that, like, all the magic users can regain MP when they use their basic attacks. So they're weak, but they get mana. So it's like, oh, I can use magic spells in random encounters. Not random encounters, but, you know, like, basic encounters.
Yeah, you don't have to save your MP for
right.
a boss
so it's like, oh, this mage character is just
useless. Well, yeah, it's not unlike the way the ATB gauge fills up with basic attacks in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Yeah.
Right, so I'm like, well, Final Fantasy VII Remake kind of does a different where there's those boxes you can hit, and, like, there's still MP in that game, but when you hit those boxes, you can get some MP back. So same thing where it's like, you can use mana. Like, in a lot of, like older RPGs, it's like don't use like your mana spells until like
ether
the boss.
Items are always like the most expensive
right,
thing you can
exactly.
buy.
Exactly, it's like I don't want to waste my mana, and so it's like I guess mages just aren't very good.
Yeah,
I think when I played Final Fantasy XII, I just Because, like, you know, if, like, the license board, I'm like, no magic users. Yeah. Just don't care.
Yeah.
Just hit everything with swords.
Yeah,
there's
no advantage, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, so...
Just need some cure magic, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. But it's very delightful. It looks very good. The soundtrack is great.
Great music.
Good with the orchestra. It's all orchestrated in this mm-hmm. version. I actually got a taste of, like, what it sounded like without the orchestra, because... The version of Smash Brothers, I think, was like the non-orchestrated version. I'm like, oh, this doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, what do you know?
What do you know? How about that? But I'm like, yeah, this is really scratching an itch right now. But I'm already like, oh, I want to play like all the Dragon Quest games. And I'm like, that's not probably a good idea.
No.
I mean,
apparently, though, they're all on mobile, and those are good versions.
Yeah. Well, like, I want to play like 5 and like 8. Like, in the problem, like...
I was gonna say, I forget, is 5 the good one?
5 is one. 5?
5 is like the one everyone's like, that's the best one.
Yeah, 5 and 8 usually. 7 is like... The weird mixed bag one. 7 was like the really long one. 7 and 8 both came out for the 3DS. I'm like, well, that's not an awful way to play them. But like 8, the big drawback is that it doesn't have the orchestrated music that the one version of the PlayStation 2 had. I'm like, I want that. The part of me is like, I hope that they just release these games for Switch. Maybe.
Yeah, well, again, they're all on mobile. Even 8 and 7, the 3D ones.
On
mobile.
Why not? I don't know.
Why not? Play your phone.
It's battery.
Why not?
Nah.
Why not?
I don't think
just
so.
Just do it.
I can't do it.
Just do it.
I still just associate mobile ports with, like, what they did to Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. Oh, what we need to talk about, because we didn't talk about it last week because it just came out, is the big Dragons update to Hearthstone Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
I suck at Battlegrounds now, Mike. It's very unfortunate.
I'm not doing bad. I'm 6,500.
Well, it's frustrating, because the times I do well are juggler comps with demons.
Well, yeah, I will say that sometimes when I'm trying to force into dragons, it can be rough. Because in order to get dragons to work, you need to get... It's not like, if you want to get demons to work, there's a couple cards you need. If you want to get mechs to work, you basically just need Cobalt Guardian. Mm. You want dragons to work, you have to, like, get Razor Gores, you have to get that dragon that gives the dragons Divine Shield, you need to get the dragon that gets buffed when dragons lose the Divine Shield. There's, like,
But it seems like my enemies always get those pieces.
Yeah, they get those ones. So.
They always get them.
Menagerie is really good now.
Yeah, Menagerie's good. Like,
so getting like a dragon or two if you get Menagerie is pretty nice.
I finally got to play Deathwing, so I did the Deathwing Rat Pack.
Deathwing is very good.
Yeah, that's fun.
That hero might be too strong.
But you do have to basically just do a beast build with him. Like, that's your path.
Yeah, basically. Tokens of some kind, yeah. When the best tokens
are. I think it's interesting. I think this went live today. Tyrion's out.
Oh, they got rid of Tyrion today.
They're taking Tyrion out.
Tyrion was pretty strong.
Well, no, I think it was more that he wasn't doing good. Because
aging, no, Tyrion was like the most overpowered.
No, they made it sound like how they put it that he wasn't performing the way. Well, maybe that couldn't be interpreted.
I think he was definitely the most powerful.
Because they took out a bunch of neutral minions with this update.
I didn't even know there wasn't an update. What? Who else did they get rid of? Well, did they do anything to Cobalt Guardian?
No. I mean, with the dragon update last week, they took out a bunch of neutral minions.
Oh yeah. Well, Tyrion was still there, like, yesterday when I was playing.
Yeah, this I believe this happened today.
Okay.
It was like a hotfix-style patch. And it brought back... who's the Cobalt chick hero?
Cobalt chick hero?
She's know. She's a Cobalt.
Oh, the one, yeah, the wax lady.
Yeah, her. She's back.
Yeah, she wasn't very exciting.
Yeah, I forget how or if they changed her, but she's to replace Tyrion.
It's not very exciting. Tyrion was too strong. They probably need to nerf him a bit. So I'm not too surprised they got rid of him. But I think I had 2 Tyrion games yesterday, so I got him in, and they both went well. Imagine
that's
that.
Good. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I've been playing more standard lately because I finally just made an Embiggen Druid deck. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I went from 16 to 10 with 2 losses. Mm. It's insane.
No, thank you. I just, I'm not,
it's
I don't.
It's fun, though. It's a good deck.
I still want to play standard right now.
I'm enjoying it. I've had the quest to spectate someone winning for a pack for like 5 days now because no one's playing standard.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I know, right? It's kind of weird. We'll see what else is happening with Hearthstone. You ready to talk about Picard?
Let's talk about Picard.
Talk about Picard. This was kind of a fun, like, a little bit more of a chill episode.
This felt like the most, like, actual old school Star Trek.
A bit, yeah. Well, I mean, part of it was very nice having Riker and Troi there.
Oh my god.
And they live on, like, the most beautiful planet in the world.
It's fan service-y, but this was some good fan service.
It's nice.
You know, you want them hugging each other and... Yeah, that was good.
Let me get my 2 negatives out of the way.
Okay.
And this one, like, I get it. That, you know, it gives some depth to their character that they had a son who died. But again, it's once again, characters must suffer.
Mm.
Their son is dead. And it was a little like, oh, he had a rare virus that could have been saved by a positronic brain. I was like, okay. Yeah,
I kind of like that wrinkle of it.
Did they have to kill Hugh?
Yeah, that sucks.
I was so happy to see him back.
That sucks.
That bothered me. Like, no, the whole episode, I'm thinking, like, don't kill him. Because even, like, in the last episode, I was like, I feel like Picard's really kind of leaving Hugh to die here.
Yeah, let's just go with him.
Yeah, but then, like, then it happened. Like, no, leave Hugh.
Well, Hugh had to stay because he wanted to make sure the XBs are okay.
Yeah, but, like, I was like, why do we have to kill Hugh? I like Hugh.
Yeah.
Part of it's like, we don't want to scare. Like, we don't have to kill off every character who was in Star Trek Next Generation. Like, we already killed off Bruce Maddox. Right. And every guest character who comes in. They all get murdered.
I called 7 of 9 coming back next week. 7 of 9
coming, that's good. The thing with Angie, what's her name? Gosh.
Agnes.
Allison
Pitt. Aggie.
Yeah, Aggie. Like, I was, the mind meld, I was almost like, I don't know if that's, like, enough. Like, what did you see? Like, or, like, well, I know you saw something, but why were you immediately like, oh, yes, now I'm going to kill my lover? Like, were you that convinced by this?
She saw the Earth blowing up.
Yeah, but, like, Vulcans can't see the future. Like, what was she showing?
Well, we're apparently going to find that out next week, because
I guess
the Valsharge are going to get the same vision, so hopefully we'll see a more complete version of it.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Like, I need to see what this vision thing is about, but,
A lot of Agnes throwing up in this episode.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Another F-bomb in this episode. Another
F-bomb, which, again, it's like...
But that one wasn't so bad.
It was okay.
Like, it was the best of the three. Yeah, I'll have to, like, rate the uses of fuck in this series by the end.
I love Riker and, Troy's daughter. She's adorable.
Great actress.
Great hair.
Yeah, I just the whole thing, I was like, wow, this is working for me. I like this kid.
Yeah, very good kid stuff there. That planet was beautiful.
Right? I love that planet. Did you get like a weird mist vibe from it?
I was getting a Smoky Bones vibe from it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. They had that mural. Very pretty. Very pretty. But no, it was great. And,
oh, my God.
Troy was really good. Like, especially when she first saw Picard, like, she kind of, like, can sense his disease progressing.
Yeah, and, like, such good stuff going on there with that. You think they're done, or you think they come back in the end?
Not this season.
Yeah. I mean,
they might come back at some point.
Yeah, again, it's just... It's so great, because part of this goes to their acting. They all three of them did great performances, but it really did feel like old friends who hadn't seen each other for a while.
Right.
Like, you really felt that, and just the way they greeted each other and talked to each other. Like, man, it just worked for me so
well. I want an outdoor pizza oven now.
Right?
I mean, I guess I don't live on a beautiful, always nice planet, though.
Yeah, it's all right. You can do one on your grill.
But yeah, it was nice. I like Elrond a lot.
Yeah. Getting some Legolas vibes from him, but I'm digging it.
I mean, I think it's intentional.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
Elrond?
I know, right? Yeah, I thought it was a good episode. Minor things here and there, but we seem to be racing towards a conclusion.
Three to go.
What do you think, Anna? Was she trying to kill herself, or she put herself in a coma specifically because that would turn off the nanoprobes?
It's interesting that she still doesn't want to admit what's going on.
Well...
But she doesn't know.
Does the hologram know or not? Is the hologram just going to be like, oh, hey.
I scanned her and found this thing. I wonder.
No. Is the hologram going to be like, I saw her kill him. She killed Bruce Maddox.
I don't know. Yeah.
So, I'm curious about that.
But, yeah. A lot of ways it could go. But I'm still really enjoying this show.
I wonder about this planet. Like, what's going to... Because the Romulans seem to think there's more androids on the planet.
Which, wouldn't that be some shit if there are?
Yeah, right.
What if one of them is, like, a rebuilt Data of some sort?
We still
sort?
Have the whole thing, like, why did those why did the Synths and Mars go crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Why are the Romulans trying to, you know...
All the Synths.
Well, yeah, and why would they sabotage the own rescue mission for their planet? So, yeah, there's things happening. All right, then. I think that does it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com.
Gosh, next week we'll be talking about Ori. Oh my God. Oh,
don't even.
Oh my God. Can't wait.
All right. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And be sure to check out 90s Disney. Our new episode is up on that as well, about the same time, right?
More or less.
Yeah.
I'll probably edit that first. It's more involved.
Yeah, it's our episode on Fast Pass. So.
I promise you will never find a more lively conversation about the engineering of the Fast Pass system.
That's right. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.